It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The war in Iran is taking a toll on the global economy. The economic fallout is being felt across the world and here in Wisconsin, at the gas pump and in the grocery store, plus the rising cost of household goods.
As more expensive energy pushes up prices, the U.S. has started a naval blockade of ships entering and leaving Iranian ports. It's a counter to Tehran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz to most shipping traffic. That's the critical waterway for moving the world's oil and gas supplies.
Congress is back in Washington this week to discuss the war and other business, including negotiating a deal to fund the Department of Homeland Security and end the partial government shutdown that's now gone on 60 days.
We have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin to discuss these issues. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Starting with the cost of this Iran war, the Pentagon reported that the first 6 days, it cost $11.3 billion. We're seeing these costs go up each day, of course. And then we have this new Harvard research estimating a total $1 trillion to the taxpayers over the next decade to foot this bill. Do you still approve of this war's price tag?
When I was on a Sunday show and the host started the interview by saying, Senator Johnson, you support this war. And I refuted that immediately. I said, no, I absolutely oppose the war that the Iranian Ayatollahs declared against America 47 years ago. I oppose the bloodshed, the lives of innocent people that the Ayatollahs have on their hands. What I support is I support ending this war once and for all. And there's a cost to ending the menace, the threat, the brutality of the Iranian regime. So that's what I support. That's, again, the top priority of government. Defense spending, defense of our nation. People say, "Oh, this wasn't an imminent threat." I would dispute that. Imminent is in the eye of the beholder, but it's certainly an existential threat. If they become a nuclear power, they already have missile technology. Don't even need intercontinental ballistic missiles. They could park a barge off of our shore, lob one of those missiles with a nuclear warhead on top of it, do a high altitude blast, EMP impact. Wipe out our electrical grid. It'd be existential to America. So no, this is a threat. The apocalyptic regime of the Iranian Ayatollahs has to come to an end.
So you still see this as money well spent, as you have said even last month. But you've also said this is a long-term project. How long is too long for you?
Well, it all depends. I think the blockade against Iranian oil coming out of there is pretty existential to the Ayatollahs. I think the vast majority of Iranians want to see the Ayatollahs overthrown. The problem is the IRGC, the Basij police force, they have the guns. They have nationwide gun control. So the rest of Iranian people are disarmed, and so they really can't overthrow the government at this point in time, hopefully sooner rather than later.
So we've seen this blockade, as you mentioned, of the Strait of Hormuz, limiting oil exports, driving up the cost of gas and diesel even further. And Wisconsinites are feeling these higher gas prices. Do you support this blockade, even as it costs a lot more at the gas pump and to put food into a grocery cart for Wisconsinites?
I'll remind you, back in June of 2022, because of Democrats' policies, their war on fossil fuel, they had driven up gasoline to just under $5 per gallon nationwide. That was because of their policy. That's what they wanted to do. So no, I obviously don't like higher gas prices. I don't want increased inflation. But again, I view Iran as an existential threat to America. 47 years that they've had this, engaged in this war against us. I want to see that threat ended.
So when the International Monetary Fund says there is a warning here, more inflation is coming, that doesn't concern you?
Of course it concerns me. It concerned me even more when we were doing it by choice under the Biden administration, Democrat policies with their war on fossil fuel. What President Trump has done is he's opened up drilling and oil exploration in America. We are now the largest producer of oil. We aren't dependent on Middle East oil anymore. Other parts of the world are. That impacts the price of oil. But again, because President Trump's policies, once we end this threat, we can very rapidly return to much lower gasoline and oil prices.
If we aren't dependent on Mideast oil, then why aren't we seeing that reflected at the gas pump?
Because oil's a global market. When oil supply is pinched in one area, that drives up the price of oil because, people still consume oil. And they're going to buy it from the sources that are still flowing. That drives up the price of oil and of gasoline.
I want to turn to the budget here. President Trump wants Congress to pass a $1.5 trillion defense budget. We're going to see big cuts if this goes through Congress, of course, big cuts to domestic programs, housing, K-12 programs, transportation funds. That's just to name a few. Do you support these spending cuts to pay for the increase to military spending?
We had a subcommittee hearing where we had a representative from NexusLexis. I didn't think they did this kind of research, but their estimate is we have about $1 trillion per year of fraud in government spending, $1 trillion. We've heard other estimates well into the hundreds of billions of dollars. We need to address that. I mean, we've seen what happened in Minnesota with the Somalis. We received the reports out of California. Fraud is rampant. And that's what we need to focus on so that we can afford a strong national defense. It's the top priority of government.
So if fraud is rampant, where do you see it most, and how will you deal with it?
Well, that's what needs to be investigated. Obviously, in the Medicare, Medicaid programs, we saw that, in Minnesota, how those people took advantage of autistic children, child care centers. Again, it's across the board. And when you have a federal government that spends over $7 trillion per year, and that's up from $4.4 trillion the year prior to the pandemic, there's no justification for that increase in spending. So, yeah, there are hundreds of billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse, or just overspending that we can certainly address so that we can actually afford an adequate national defense.
Adequate.
By the way, I would really focus on how we spend that money as well. It's ridiculous that we are have to use million-dollar plus missiles to take down drones that cost thousands of dollars. So there's a different type of anti-drone technology using other drones, far less expensive. We need to spend our defense money far better than we are.
Okay, so finer point though here, you are fully supportive of a $1.5 trillion defense budget.
I'm fully supportive of military spending being a top priority of this government, but I want to spend the money a whole lot better.
We're with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson as Congress is back on Capitol Hill this week. I want to turn to the Department of Homeland Security funding. We're now 8 weeks into this partial government shutdown. Now that Congress is back, where do negotiations stand to get this done?
Unfortunately, Democrats, like they wanted to defund police, they want to defund ICE and CBP. So they've been, incredibly obnoxious and obstructionist. And, we did the only thing we could do out of the Senate was pass the funding for the other 20 agencies within DHS. Hopefully the House will take that up. And then we're going to have to fund the rest of CBP and ICE through the reconciliation process as we did in 2025. I mean, those agencies are operating because we provide that funding and reconciliation process. We'll have to do that again here. The sooner the better.
I want to get into this a little bit more here. Democrats do want reforms to ICE. Would you support ICE agents, for instance, removing masks or securing judicial warrants before making arrests? Where would you negotiate?
I think the White House went quite a ways at trying to accommodate some of those demands, but most of the demands were completely unacceptable. For example, requiring adjudication of these asylum claims after the Democrats opened up the border and allowed millions of people to flood into this country, so we have millions of asylum claims. They want to adjudicate those through Article 3 courts. We simply don't have the personnel. We've always adjudicated asylum claims through an administrative court process. So Democrats know they're demanding something that is simply not possible. And of course, they don't get held accountable by the legacy in the corporate media.
So reconciliation process.
That's why they're able to be so obnoxious, and why we've shut down DHS.
So reconciliation process is the only way you see forward here to get this done for DHS.
That is the only way we can get it done. Again, the easier way would be Democrats to become reasonable and vote to fund DHS, but they're not willing to do that.
Turning to Wisconsin here in our spring election, the conservative-backed candidate, Maria Lazar, she lost by 20 points. This was a liberal landslide in the state Supreme Court race. What do you think led to her lopsided loss, and how can Republicans turn things around before the midterm elections this fall?
Well, Republican voters have to understand how crucial these Supreme Court races are. We've lost three in a row. I don't have a ready solution for it. We spent tens of millions in the last Supreme Court race and pretty well had the same result as we had with the Supreme Court race after I got elected in 2022. So this is obviously a problem for conservatives, Republicans in Wisconsin.
Okay, a problem. Do you think the party needs new leadership at the state level? Should party chair Brian Schimming step down? What are next steps for Republicans in Wisconsin?
again, Republican voters have to realize that every election matters, not just a presidential election or a U.S. Senate election. I mean, these spring elections are incredibly important. If we don't want to go the way of Minnesota, we better get our act together. And voters, again, this is an individual decision. People who want their freedom, their liberty, don't want the destructive policies of radical leftists, Democrats, they have to get out and vote in every election.
People in Wisconsin, they're struggling with the economy. They're struggling food, housing, medical bills. What is your message for Wisconsinites who feel unable to make ends meet under this administration?
It certainly takes time to recover from 4 years of the Biden administration's policies, where they had a war on fossil fuel, where, again, trillions and trillions of dollars of spending we didn't need, which is now locked in. It's very difficult to reduce that spending. So you devalue the currency. A dollar you held in prior to the pandemic is worth 80 cents today. So that devaluation is permanent. The things you can bring down cost-wise, things like gasoline, we were doing that by utilizing our God-given natural resources, you know, not engaging in a war on fossil fuel. Obviously, the war in Iran has set that back. But, you know, price of eggs, those types of things, you know, again, bad policy in terms of how to handle bird flu, those things have been reversed. So there's some things you can address to actually lower prices. But that devaluation, the prices that increased under the Biden administration, those prices aren't coming down. All you can do is restrain the future growth of inflation, and which is one of the reasons I've been battling hard to try and return to a reasonable pre-pandemic level of spending. I'm unfortunately vastly outnumbered here in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats.
Very quickly here, what is your view on President Trump's criticisms of Pope Leo?
I just really no comment on that.
No comment. Should Republicans be concerned about the Catholic vote?
We should be concerned about every voter. We should be concerned about preserving this nation against radical left policies of destroying it.
Senator Johnson, thank you for joining us.
Have a good day.
You too. That was U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. I talked to him earlier this morning about the latest news out of Washington, including the ongoing war in Iran and negotiations to end the partial government shutdown.